nothing new. I mean, I've preached down these lines for a long time, you know, the God's Word. I told Travis one time when he was probably about 16, 18 years old, I don't remember, you know, but I told him, I said, son, I said, the Word of God is the only way that we know truth. This world's messed up. I mean, the secular world is messed up now. I'm not saying they don't have some good values and good people in them, and I'm not talking about that, but our values goes in a different direction than the world and worldly people, world people that think worldly. Not that they're bad people. See, God loved the world, and he gave his only begotten son. He loves everybody. I mean, he loves everybody, and just like I've thought about it many, many times, you know, I lived 27, 28 years without the Lord, and my life was a mess, you know. And I got born again, and the Word of God has so transformed my life, the power of God's Word. And, it, you know, I've seen people not really get into the Word after they get born again and not focus on the Word and put the Word, you know, priority, so to speak, and everything, and never see the demonstration of the Word in their life, in their heart, their mind, their lives are never transformed. See, we're born again, but our flesh didn't get saved. Our mind didn't get born again. When we get born again in our spirit. Our spirit is renewed. The old man dies, and all things become new. And see, the power of God's Word tells me that. And then I'm like, man, I'm not the same person. I was sitting in a sermon one night, and that's why church is so important to me, that I think everybody on the planet needs to be in church tonight somewhere and Sunday. I mean, I just do, or services. Like Mac, he goes to a church service. He goes to they have church service Sunday morning in the nursing home. They've taken the gospel to those people. Well, see, the Word of God can go in and transform the thinking of those elderly folk, that they're not all washed up. And, you know, they have the same devil as we have, and circumstances and body and different things, you know. And so the power, God's Word has the power to transform the life of anybody that will apply it. But I told Travis, you know, and that's the way I feel. The Word of God is the only way that I know what truth is in this earth that we live in now. And it's always been that way. Because you got some people that they're like, well, my interpretation of it's different than your interpretation. And so I'd always come back and say, we shouldn't have an interpretation. We should have an inspiration. Let the Word of God be inspired by the Holy Spirit in our life. Not necessarily an interpretation, you know. It kind of like a guy told me one time, he said, I was saying something. He said, well, you know, we're supposed to work, the Bible says for us not to judge one another, to work out our own salvation, you know. And I said, well, do you even know what that means? Have you studied that? And he says, well, no, it says work out your own salvation. You don't be concerned about my salvation. You be concerned about your salvation. I said, well, you know, I said, that's kind of carnal thinking. I said, the Bible, where the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I said, if you study that and let the Holy Spirit reveal to you what it really means, I said, you won't have that interpretation. I said, what that means is let the salvation that come on the inside of me and you work its way out. I said, and when we both do that, we will come to the same conclusions, same point, same place. I said, because that salvation that came on the inside, see the power of the Word of God, how it transformed the way I thought about the Holy Spirit, brought it to me. He said, salvation has came on the inside of you. Now let it work its way out. Well, supernatural power has came on the inside of me and you by the Spirit of God. Now let's let it work out. Let's let it rule in our life. Let's let it dominate our thinking. Let's let it dominate our hearts. You know, the Bible says, hereby shall all men know that you're my disciples because you have love one for another. And you know what? I mean, I used to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to love people. Help me to love. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with asking the Lord that. But one day I was reading Romans 5, and it says the love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And then when I seen that, I thought, I wonder what shed means. See, when that's happening, that's not you. That's the Holy Spirit fixing to take you deeper in the Word of God to see. See, flesh and blood receives not the things of God. But the Spirit on the inside of us is what receives. That's why after we're born again, the Word of God we need to try to make it priority in our lives, priority in our marriage, priority in our finance, priority in our relationships. Well, you know, I looked up the word shed, where it says shed abroad, and the Bible says it's been poured out in us. And I thought, then I had this thought, I thought, well, man, if it's in there, then all I got to do is use it. See, that was the part of the salvation came in there. God kind of love. The ability to love my enemies came on the inside of me. The ability to love our enemies came on the inside of us. The ability to love one another like God loves us. Love one another. Love the brethren. The ability to do that came on the inside of us when we got born again. But, you know, we have to make choices. Just like, you know, when the Lord put it on my heart to come down here and start a church, you know, I had this concern. I was concerned because we had been where we was at for 7.5 years, and you know, and I had this concern. So I went to the Lord, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, now you're asking me to take my family out of church. That was a concern to me. Because we're there, our marriage has changed, our life is the better. I mean, we're getting fed just like you do and I do. And, well, I mean, about every service I would leave feeling different. Just life changed. The Word of God has the power to transform our lives wherever we're at, on whatever level we're on. You know, so I go to the Lord and I said, Lord, I said, have I got the ability, have I got the anointing to feed my family spiritually? To take care of Teresa and Travis, you know. That was my main concern. There wasn't nobody else here. We wasn't started yet, right? So that's all the concern I had at that time. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, you don't have it, but I do. He said, you're not the one taking care of her. I am. He said, and wherever I lead, I will provide whatever you need. And so, see how the word came? Then he said, greater is he that is in you. And see how the power of that word? And I thought, glory to God, there's my answer right there. I've not got the capability to develop her own spiritually. That's not my job. My job is to lead her to church, lead her in the will of God. See, one of the things that I learned out really, really young in my life is spiritual life, is that faith begins where the will of God is known. Where I don't know the will of God, I can't have faith. So I got to find out what God's will is. And basically, this Bible tells me in most cases what the will of God is. The will of God is none should perish. So there ain't no doubt in my mind that the church and ought to be winning souls, ought to be going after the lost, you know, doing everything we can do to get the lost into the kingdom, not necessarily in church. We don't want people dischurched. We want them born again. We want them productive inwardly so that when they leave out, they have been in the presence of God, then they can learn how to continue the presence of God in their life, at home, at work, and everywhere. Where that they have the ability to come. See, without the strength of the Lord, we don't have the ability to come together and do what we do. We can last for a while, you know. But the Word of God, the Bible says in Hebrews 4, give me that, Beth, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word, Paul wrote in Hebrews, and he says, for the Word of God is quick. That means living. That word quick right there, if you look it up in the Greek meaning of that word, goes back to the original Greek meaning. And why I'm saying that is because the Bible wasn't even wrote in English. King James translated it into English so that you know, we grafted in, we could understand it. But you can get a Strong's Concordance, which gives the Greek meaning, which is the New Testament, of the word. Gives you a deeper meaning of the word. Well, I went and looked up the word quick, and it says powerful. Living, I mean. It says living. So I thought, man, the word of God's alive. It's alive. It's not dead. It's alive. And the more I get that word in me, the more I'll live. The more I let, just like this right here, you know, I'm reading in the Bible, me and Teresa, we read in the Bible, and we read where God hates divorce. He hates it. He give them a reason to get a divorce because of the hardness of one's heart. That's it. You know, it's not God's will. We found out that God hated it. He's against it. And so we set our heart. We took that word and put it in, and I put it in me. I put it in me, and I said, I will never. I went around saying, according to God's word, I got to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And then it come out of my mouth and been in my heart all of these years, I will never get a divorce, ever. It's not God's will. So therefore, see, I've had faith the whole time when things don't look. I'm just giving you a little scenario of my little example, which was a major thing in my life to have a successful relationship with Tracy, with my wife. And so that word went in, and I let it come in, and it came alive. Started living. It says it's powerful. God's word has power. You preach God's word, to somebody lost, and it has the power to redeem them. It goes out. God said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Well, you can't separate Jesus and the Word. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word came down and dwelt among us, the only begotten Son of the Father. He was the Word made flesh. And then Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus was a manifestation of God on this planet. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so I started picking up, you know, and I thought, well, man, you know what? The Bible says, I've run across scripture where it says, as God is, so are we in this earth. I thought, man, they came out with that bracelet back yonder, WWJD, and I had so many things wrong in my life at that time as a Christian that I didn't seem to have the power to change till I didn't want that bracelet because it brought me under condemnation. It wasn't the bracelet. It was my thinking. Because I'm like, I'm not going to wear that. I got too many things, you know. But then, all of a sudden, the Lord, you know, begin to quicken me, and he says, look at WWJD, what would Jesus do about sickness? So I go in there, and I start looking what Jesus did about sickness, and hearing the word, and hearing preaching here and there, and a little bit, you know, and so Jesus would just come against it. He would, by Jesus' stripes, it says, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. I just told my body the other day, I said, I don't care how old you get, you ain't going to feel the way everybody else feels. You're not going to experience what people lost without God feels. Because they are lost without God, without hope. But I'm not without God, and I'm not without hope. And the Bible says, let the weak say that they are strong. It don't say, go ahead and say what you feel. I mean, he didn't want them to go up there and spy out Canaan land and come back and tell them exactly the way it was, and they're defeated. That's not what he wanted them to do. And there was two of them that was of a different spirit. They had the spirit of faith. They had it living on the inside of them. They looked at the same giants in the land. They looked at the occupation. The land was just like God said, but they was enemies, giants that occupied the land that God told them that they could have. See, God's already told us we'll be blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed to be the fruit of your body. He's already told us. But we can look at our body, or we can look at other people's body, and we go, well, you know, they're just old, and they're just, man, I went one time, and the Lord, I felt like the Lord wanted me to go to this revival, just visiting. I was just visiting. And I mean, it was just full of preachers that night, you know. The revival was full of preachers, and old people. There was a lot of old people. There wasn't hardly any. It was a packed house of older people in there. The Lord just reminded me of Caleb was 80 years old, 80, and he'd got to Canaan land. They'd went in and occupied. They'd went in and killed them. They'd went in and took over them things that was trying to stop them from seeing God's goodness that God had told them. See, God's done told me that he's done told me through the Word, the power of God's Word, that's what we're talking about tonight, that everything I set my hands to do will be blessed. When things don't go right or in my favor, seemingly to me, I go back to the Word and I come out of my mouth with the Word. I'll say, God, your Word says all things work together for the good to those that love you. And I love you, and I don't know how. I'm not going to figure it out, but this is going to work to my good because your Word says it will. And I don't need a congregation to do that. I need to stand right where I feel discouraged. Come on, somebody. I need to stand right where I feel defeated. I need to stand there and let that come out of my mouth because it is in my heart. But see, we are by nature wanting to say how it is and yield to how it feels. So anyways, I went to that revival and full of preachers. And this preacher got up and he said, okay. He said, I'm going to let all of y'all preachers have a word. He said, I'm going to give you, I don't forgot what, 5 minutes, maybe three, 5 minutes each. And I'm sitting there and my mind is thinking that's impossible. When a preacher starts, he can't shut up. But see, I had been working on myself because God's Word said, and I had run across that scripture, it said the prophet of a man is subject to, no. What's that scripture? Subject. Yeah, that's right. It's in other words, and I thought I can do it. I can do all things. There comes the word again. I can do all things. I can keep my mouth shut. I can talk a minute and a half. I don't even have to talk. So my brother, he's sitting there beside me. He said, can you do it? I said, you better believe I can do it. I said, yes, sir. And I quoted that scripture to him. I said, the Bible says that it's subject to me. I said, I can. And so I thought, you know what? Jesus saved the best to last. That's what I thought. That scripture come to me. See, you got to read the Bible. Man, God's talking to me in these services through the Bible, through the Word. He's saying, you know, the Holy Scripture, the Holy Spirit, I believe at that time, which I didn't sit there thinking, this is the Holy Ghost. And he's going, I wasn't, man. You know, a lot of times I don't realize that it just comes to me and I'm not thinking that way, you know. And so I thought, man, he saved the best of last. I thought, I'm going to be the last one to speak. And that's come to me about Caleb and Joshua, that he was 80 years old. And I looked around and I thought, man, this church is packed with 80 and 90-year-old man. I mean, it was, you know, and I thought, I ain't got a sermon, no notebook or nothing, man. I mean, I thought, well, I'll just tell about that, you know. I'll just tell about that real quick. That's what I had in mind. And so he goes on and the preacher's, and he said, who's next? And Preston, go ahead. He said, my brother, go ahead. I said, now I'm going to wait to last. I didn't tell him that, what I'd been thinking. Well, you know what? I was the last one. And that pastor, he said, how many more preachers we got in here? Because it had been about 12, 15 minutes. Hadn't been long. And I'm the only one that slipped my hand up. I slipped my hand up. And he said, you're the one going to preach tonight. I thought, glory to God. Say the best of last, man. Hallelujah. I got up there And when I started talking about Joshua, the anointing came in the house. It wasn't me, because I didn't have a sermon. All I'm going to do is just, you know, tell me to preach. I didn't cut my mind on and say, oh, my God, I didn't study. I don't have a Bible up here, man. I mean, I don't got a note or nothing. Nah, the Holy Spirit took over, and when I got done, I'm telling you, they just flooded up there. These old people prayed for me. This 90-year-old woman came up there, and she said, man, I'm going to get back to working for Jesus. She said, we all thought we was all washed up till tonight, but we're in our 80s and 90s, and here you are talking, and I feel it. She said, I feel it. She said, if I have to ride my mule, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I guess she can't drive anymore. It took her license, I guess. So she has to ride her mule. You know, and I left there, and I thought, glory to God, this is what revival is. This is what preaching that word did. That word, I didn't know. I wouldn't have knew about Caleb and Joshua. If I hadn't been being a student of the word, I wouldn't have knew about it. Now, I've got that hope in me about me. Come on, 80. If Jesus don't come back, I will be 80. That's fine. I'm going to have my mind renewed to the word of God, that the word of God is living. It is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. This thing goes in our body and works. The word works. It's what he's talking about. Goes down to your joints. That's where arthritis gets. Well, let the word drive it out. Drive it out. But you know what I realized? I realized that we got to take a stance, and we got to make quality decisions based on the word about our bodies, about our jobs, about our marriages, about our ministries, about our life, and then don't move off of it. I mean, black God, don't let nothing contrary come out of your mouth that is contrary to what you've got established. I don't care what our body said. I don't care what the world said. I don't care. Just like me, I took a chance and I thought, well, I've had a vision one time of going to jail while I was preaching. The cop comes in. I don't know if it was a vision from God or what, but, you know, I mean, and I thought, I could see me leaving. I could see them handcuff me and leave me, taking me out of here, and me looking over to somebody that was sitting over there. It might be you. And I told them, I said, get up and preach. You know? And so when the pandemic hit and they shutting down everything, you know, and all, now I've got the Bible. I've got the Word, which tells me, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are. That Bible don't change whether we got a pandemic or not. And it's not subject to the pandemic or whatever the case may be. Now, you know what? We can cow down to whatever comes our way, and we can lose the power of that word right there where it can't work like God wants it to and God intends for it to. You lay down and give in to sickness and disease, and you're just going to go feeling how your body is and how you feel, and before you know it, you'll be acting the way you feel, and you'll be all of that. Now, that word can't work like it can't go down there in the joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of them thoughts, and if you'll be alert and up on the word, those thoughts that come that is contrary to God's word, you will be quickened to it, and you'll know that this come from you or the enemy. And either one of them two is not good. If it ain't come from the Lord, cast it out. Give me that 2 Corinthians 10, Beth. We'll go back to Romans. Oh, I didn't? Well, good. It's 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It says, though we walk in the flesh, this normal body, we do not war according to this normal body. There it is. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. What that means is this natural side. I'll just give you an example. Used to settling things, even me and Teresa, we would fight. That's how we did. We fought, tore things up, and all that stuff. What are we doing? We're walking in the flesh. That's the way we did. That's just the way we did. He said, we do not war after the flesh, according to the natural man anymore. We don't operate that way. The Bible says, love your enemies. Overcome evil with good. Now, when you do that, you're warring not in the flesh. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They are mighty through God. Somebody say mighty through God. It says, for the pulling down of strongholds. What stronghold? Your mind can get a stronghold that you're defeated. Your mind, your body, because of your body. I mean, finances. The Lord just reminded me. I was fasting and praying and seeking the Lord. Weston Overhead Door started, we was in this building. We was in the food room. This was not a church. Never thought about it being a church. We was in there, and I would get there because I'd got born again, and I'd got on the word in Proverbs 3 over there where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I'd got a hold of that, Johnny, and I thought, okay, I've got to acknowledge God in this business, and God's going to raise it up. So I would come to this building a little early. We started at 7, so most of the time I would get here around 6:15, 6:20, 6:30, and I would pray, and I would say, which way do I go? Where do I send? What do I do today, Lord? Do I need to change anything, Lord? I'm trying to learn how to hear from God, too, you know? Well, you know, in about a year and a half, God raised that business up. I believe, number one, that it was God's will. And I believe, number two, because I knew the Word and I was doing what the Word said. And the power of me doing, complying with it, brought the power of God in on that business. And that business went, in 3 years, grossing $500,000 and growing. That was a lot of money in 90-something. 95 maybe, 94, 95. That was a good bit of money, you know. And I attributed it to, you know, to the Word of God, the power of God, and finding out that he wanted me blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the... But you know what? We don't war according to this natural man. Well, people told me, well, you can't start a business in Blountsville. A wealthy man told me in Preston, they said, well, you won't never make it in Blountsville. Blountsville's full of drugs and all that. This has been a drug town for a long time. I've been living here 50-something years. This is where I primarily came and bought a lot of drugs back yonder. And my brother's a lot of drugs. There was a spirit of witchcraft that held this city captive. But the church has been coming in and lifting that and getting rid of that. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, there's 13 churches in Blountsville. Why can't you send me somewhere else? He never answered me. He wanted me and us here in Blountsville. You know why? Because we love people. Because we care about them. We care about things destroying their lives and their marriages, and we care. We care about them staying sick, and that's the heart of God. That's not even us. So he wanted that love down here in Blountsville. And so you've got to learn not to take things personal when you're rejected. You're going to be rejected. That's one of the best things that ever happened to me in the evangelistic field and the streets and different things in the jails, is me getting rejected and feeling like, well, you know, y'all just go to hell, you know. I mean, I've laid my life down and all that, you know, and had to come to the point in that I rejected Jesus myself when he died for me. Right? Up till I was 28. So persecution and all that and rejection and all of that is tearing down that flesh man of ours and building up that spirit. The Bible says in 1 Peter, we're being built a spiritual house. We're being built up a spiritual house. But right below it, it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. This Bible will cause you to grow stronger in the Lord. Stronger towards the Lord, stronger in the things of the Lord. Hallelujah. I know we don't like to read, but listen, read. I know we don't like to meditate. I mean, you know, my mind's been bombarded for 2 days with secular music. I ain't even listening to no secular music. I'm going down the road, and I just had the thought about, I heard it from a friend who, heard it from a friend who, heard it from another you've been messing around. I used to get in thoughts with her when I'd hear that song. Well, you're looking at a jealous man. I was a fearful man, a jealous man. So, I mean, every morning I get up, I can just hear it. Maybe not with my ears, but heard it from a friend who, heard it from a friend who. And I'm going down the road yesterday. I'm going down the road, and that song came again. That song came again, and you know what I did? I turned my radio on. 93.7, and I said, shut up, I'm tired of fighting you. So I cut my radio on, and I done away with that. See, why I'm saying that, those thoughts are wanting to dominate me. They're wanting me to start thinking about it, yielding, saying it. Oh, it feels good. It gets some pressure off. No, it takes me into spiritual bondage so that the Word of God don't have the power that it has had in my life and weakens me like kryptonite does Superman. I mean, Superman can tote a train, but you get him a little green goo. Then that dude's like, come on down to your knees, boy. Well, you know, that's exactly the way this, with the power of us yielding to the world's way of thinking and doing, does us spiritually. I mean, really, those things happen to us. You know, any time I've ever got weak spiritually, it's when I kept my mind on my work too much. You don't have to be something bad. Just on my work too much. And people have it today, and they're just burnt out. They're burnt out, so they need a break from God. They need a break from church. They need a break. Now, here, it's happening here. But that's the flesh. That is just that. He's going to get more wore out, Mac. More wore out. I've got to put more towards the Lord so that I'm strong in Him, that my spirit man is strong, hallelujah, that these things don't come and steal the Word of God that I put in my heart, hallelujah. I mean, those Bible says, guard our heart, for Proverbs, guard our heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. I mean, each one of us has enough every day bombarding us in troubles and trials, breakdowns, and don't feel good, and the world's sick, and the news, and hurricanes, and people dying everywhere. I rebuked that sucker off of Florida. I stood yesterday when I heard about it, and I said, I command the blessing of the Lord over Florida right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to that hurricane. You will not bring no harm to God's people. And then I prayed for God's people. Lord, strengthen them in the name of Jesus, that they'll stand up against that storm. See, I got that out of the Bible. A storm appeared, and Jesus was in the bottom of the ship. See what the power of that word does? It brings alive the things of God in our natural bodies, hallelujah, and causes us to walk in the supernatural. It says, mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, but it says casting down imaginations. Casting down, I looked up the word imagination, it says arguments. Anything that argues with by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, cast it down. Anything that argues with I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed, cast it down. Anything that argues with me being strong in the Lord, if I feel weak, cast it down. Anything that argues against the knowledge of God, what is the knowledge of God? This Bible gives you knowledge of God. I find that God led people it was impossible for them to come out from under Pharaoh. It was impossible. There was no power on earth at that time that could deliver them out from under Pharaoh. Not no power. But God sends a Moses, a man in the backside of a desert that had killed a man, in the backside of a desert, running for his life, and God meets him there and then sends him down there. But you know what? Even when Moses went and told them, God was trying to get faith in the people towards him. The word always is there to get us in faith toward God. So he told them the promise. Then the deliverance, he went to Pharaoh and he said, God said to let him go, let his people go. He probably thought, God, are you serious? Well, God had to bring plagues and things. God had to make a believer out of him. God had to harden his heart. There wasn't no power of man's power big enough to deliver them. There's no power big enough. Somebody put on Facebook, they're talking about heroin. And it was saying, I am this, and I take your home, and I take your family, and blah, blah, blah. No, we give it to it. People give it to it. That don't have the power to take nothing. And so I put on there at the end, they were just saying, I am talking like that, you know, and that's fine. I mean, I'm not down in it and all that. I said, there ain't but one answer for this. I said, it is the church and Jesus. You can post it on there all day long. My sister come to me and told me, she told me one time, she's trying to get me to go to church. I said, I'm not going to give little sissy thigh church. I'm not interested in church. Y'all can't do nothing. Y'all can't do nothing. Can't smoke a joint. You can't drink. You can't go to the bars. You can't party. Y'all are sissies. Well, what I'm saying that is, see, that, and then she looked at me and she said, well, you're going to hell. And I said, I'm going to party in hell with the devil. I said, I don't care. I'm going to party down there too. See, what I'm saying is her little words ain't enough to convict me. Her words, she didn't have the power to deliver me. She wanted me to come out of the world. She wanted me in church, I believe, you know. She loved me and all of that. But her words didn't have the power. But you know what did? Somebody, one of my brothers, told me that Jesus loved me and that he would help me. And that didn't help me either. I just told him, yeah, you go on with your little Jesus. You know, but when I got down to the bottom in my life, when I made all the wrong choices and brought hell to me and brought hell to my family, God didn't do it. God been trying the whole time to get me to go to church, get me to go after him. You know, he'd been, you know, well, that day I remembered that. I said, if you're really real. And see, that's why I put on there what I did. That's why I'm okay. I'm going to heaven. I'm going. I told my neighbor, we're working or something, you know. And I said, well, you know, if you end up, you know, and you're still here and I'm gone, you can have all my stuff. And he looked at me and he said, I'm going. I said, well, I was just giving him good. I got a nice brick house and 15 acres there and tractors and dough. You can have it. You can have it all. But if you're here, you're going to need more than that. And he said, no, I'm going. See, that was good. He came back with the right answer. Ain't none of that going to mean nothing then. We're going to occupy now. See, I'm going. But I had a vision one time, a dream actually. And all of y'all was involved. I didn't see y'all's face. But everybody that operates and we work together as a team, I believe, is that vision. Well, I had a dream. It was a dream. And I was out front, and it come down like a pyramid, and it just got wider and wider, the people. And I was out in front. I was out in front, and all these people were behind me, and they're walking behind me. And I'm up here, and I'm looking down on that vision, that dream, but we were all dressed alike, Johnny. I wasn't up there dressed in black or whatever and everybody else. It was just like, I mean, that's the way I feel. We're all equal. I've just got an anointing to preach. You know, that's my anointing, you know. And that's why I believe I was out front of that. But anyways, it wasn't too long. A buddy of mine, I hadn't told nobody, that, to my knowledge, I hadn't told anybody. See, God will confirm to you his desires and dreams and things that he's got for you. He may not do it the way he does me. He knows how you are. He knows how you think. He knows how you feel. He knows how you're built. He knows the parts of me that needs to be rebuilt. We'll get maybe a little bit of that in a minute, but wasn't too long. He's off up at a flea market. And I was a really a racist, Mac. I mean, if you wasn't white, man, I was raised that way, you know. And I got born again, and first thing God did is started setting me free from that. And the first one sermon that I preached, Johnny, and led to the Lord was a Hispanic boy. Give his heart to the Lord. And I'm thinking, not him! I wasn't all the way cooked yet. I'm like, man, you know, Jesus, why don't you save somebody else, you know? But I stood there amazed. I'm like, look what God done. God turned my life around, man. And the first one gets saved, man. And then I really thought about it, and I thought, I love him. I don't feel that way anymore. See, that was the flesh man. Well, he goes off to later on to a flea market. And he sees this painting, and he thought about me, and it's this pyramid of people painted. And they're all dressed in white, just like the dream. He come to my house, and he said, well, hey, I got you something. And maybe my house, maybe, or where was that? He gave me that, and I mean, it shocked me. I thought, man, that's that dream. Well, see, that dream here, 20 years later, is coming to pass. It's coming to pass. But you know what? I could have quit a long time ago, Mac. I could have gotten discouraged with the church. People won't come and won't stay. And, you know, the spiritual battles I have, and the battles I have at work, and the battles I have at home. I could have quit. I mean, I could have done quit a long time ago. But you know what keeps me? I've got that word on the inside of me, that greater is he. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. That's what I always think. Lord, it'll get better. Tomorrow's a better day. Well, that's what David did. He said he would have fainted lest he believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So, see, you've got to take God's word and get it on the inside. And what you do have on the inside, don't lay it down like it's not useful anymore. Don't get the sword up. Get it up and begin to use it like you used to use it. Or continue using it like you do use it. Because we're living in a time where the enemy wants us wore out. But you know, the people that go on into God, you can't wear them out. You can't get them. Give me that Romans 12, Beth, please. Be not conformed to this world. What that means is this: the way, the world's way of doing, thinking, and being. The way the world thinks, acts, says, speaks, and does. Be not conformed to that. The Bible says, come out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We're, you know, that's a heart thing. That's not, I don't chew, I don't dip, I don't smoke, and I don't hang around, nobody does. That's not what he's talking about. He says, be holy, for I'm holy. Set apart. That means to be set apart. This thing is a heart thing. And then we're being renovated. We're being changed. Because of that heart thing, making my mind up, Lord, I'm not going to be like the world anymore. That's not judging them. That's deciding I've come out, and I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going to be around that anymore. I'm not going to speak that anymore. I'm not going to hear that anymore. I'm not going to listen to that anymore. I'm not going to choose to yield to that anymore. Then when I do that, then I'm yielding to the power of God. He says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transform right there means metamorphosis. And I didn't really know it until I was studying this word, how a worm is in a cocoon and comes out a butterfly. Because, I mean, I looked it up, and that's one of the examples, one of the commentaries or something I got from it, you know, is be renewed renew your mind by the Word of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, the reading of God's Word, the meditating of God's Word transforms us into the image of the Lord. What it does, it takes us from one state of low being to a beautiful butterfly, so to speak. And I thought, glory to God. This word right here, Lord, is going to take me from one level of glory to another. This is going to open doors in my marriage that I never dreamed. And it has. It truly has. I mean, I believe God to prosper. This ain't my first year. I've been doing it for a lot of years. Just like a guy told me, you know, and Satan does this to me periodically, you know, and tries to get me to water down the word, because we're in a modern world now. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want anybody. See, it's not that we're trying to offend anybody. If it offends people that you're blessed, let them get offended. If it offends people that you walk on the Word of God and you receive your healing and they want to think you're some high and mighty thing, let them think what they want. You just walk it out. You just go on and walk it out. Me and Teresa are to play the guy when I was looking at the internet up 2008. He told me, he said, now, you know, and he was one that used to tithe. I asked him later. I said, well, let me ask you something. Since you've evolved from that, you know, he said that was under the law. I said, that wasn't written under the law. I said, that was before the law. I said, I'm not going to argue you over the Word of God. I said, I didn't start doing it under the law. I said, the Ten Commandments were the law. But it tells me what not to do. And by the Spirit, I don't do it. Jesus said, I told him, I come not to destroy the law, but that it might be fulfilled in me. Now he's not writing the law on book. Go slay a goat. Don't, you know, get you some sheep, make an altar. No, he's not doing that. He's doing it in our hearts now. He said, make an altar to me. Ask me to forgive you when you sin, when you mess up, when you miss the mark. Ask me to forgive you. I write the word in there. Now he says, love your enemies. That was a challenge to me, but it's not now. I don't got any enemies that I know on this planet, that I know of right now. I'm very highly liked most places. Teresa told me, she said, your funeral's probably going to be a lot of people. There's just going to be a few at mine. Well, she ain't give away as many cars as me. Hey, man, she gives my stuff away. Got to give your own away. Get you some points there, man. But you know what? See, the Word of God transforms our life. It says, be transformed by the renewed your, that you may prove. That word prove right there means to walk out. That means you will see it. What is that good, perfect, acceptable, and perfect will of God? You'll see your healing. Mark 4 over there, we're not going to turn over there, for time's sake. But Mark 4, it's 4:14, it talks about the sower sows the word. Then it goes to talking about the hearts. It goes to talking about different hearts. You know, the word preached, Satan comes immediately and steals it. The other one preached on thorns, you know, and didn't have much root. So when trials come, persecution come, it says absolutely, it says for the word's sake. I realized in that the things are going to come to my life for the word's sake, to get the word out. I mean, I've heard Satan more than once. I reminded him the other day. I said, hey, Satan, I said, do you remember when I stood on this 16 acres right here believing God and I was in the 10th year? I said, do you remember? I went up there and I walked back and seen a snake. on that property. And I thought, I'm not going to tell Teresa. She won't want this. But I stood up there, and I went, and that, I knew that house was ours before I got it. I knew it. I went in there. I actually broke the house and went in. Don't do that. Just don't do that. And the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, this is yours. This is what you've been believing me for. I thought, man, it's a brick house. Got a shop on it. Then I went and looked around to see how far I could tell where the property, and it was pretty big. I could tell it was pretty big. Well, I told Satan, I said, you remember? I said, I stood by that well up there. I said, and you told me, because, see, at that time, I had physical symptoms. I've been having symptoms for a lot of years up to this heart attack thing. A lot of years. I preach about turkey bacon. She's cooked it for years. 15 years ago. Anyways. He told me. I heard of the thoughts in my head. He said, you'll get it, Satan. You'll get it, but you won't never enjoy this. And I squatted down, just like Jesus did. But Jesus told him, he said, you without sin cast the first stone. Well, I thought about that. And so I just drawed a line, and it's kind of sandy there. I drawed a line in that. I said, hey, Satan, I said, I'm drawing a line right here. You ain't nothing but a liar, and I will have this because God said, and I will enjoy it. And 15 years later, Mac, 15 years. I thought about it the other day. I thought, this is home. I built a garden spot down there. I'd be lonely without it. I built a little orchard out there, going to add on to it and all that. I went up and built little things for the kids to ride the go-karts and all of that. You know, I mean, I got just things. I built a home. So while I'm telling you that, whatever he tries to tell you, cast it down. Cast it down that you're not no good, that you ain't going to ever get no better, that things ain't going to change. He ain't nothing but a liar. The Lord spoke to me about the business about 2 or 3 years ago. He said, I'll do it again. I didn't know if I wanted to do it again or not, Mac. Man, I've been in it 30 years, man. You know, I don't know if I want it or not at that point. And then I had to make a decision. I thought, well, if I don't lay hold of what God is saying now, 5 to 10 years is going to go down the road, and I'm going to wish that I would have listened to God. My body didn't feel it and all that, but God wanted me to dream. Well, I went on, and I said, yes, sir, Lord, do it again. I receive it in the name of Jesus. And then I begin to acknowledge God like I did first time. I begin to acknowledge God, and then I begin to listen on the inside. How many knows you need to listen on the inside? And the Lord, he said, speak bigger jobs, less work and more money. So I begin to say it. Thank you, Lord. Big jobs, less work, more money. Thank you, Lord. Big job, work, less work. It's still happening today. I mean, last week, I'm not bragging on the money. I don't care. I don't really care about it. I got a life going on, man. I'm happy. I'm blessed. I'm able to bless my grandkids and bless people and all of that. That's what it's about, you know. Praise God. But you know what? I made more money last week in one week than I'd made probably in 15 years. Praise God. I've made more in 2 days than usually I make in a month this week. I told Travis we're going to do that word. So, you know what? And you know what the Bible says? It says, for you to follow after those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So let the world get upset. Let the church get upset that we preach healing. Most of them, well, I heard one other day says, well, and if the Lord don't heal them here, he'll heal them in heaven. How many knows that's unbelief? I don't go to somebody and say, well, you know, sometimes God heals, sometimes He don't. God's mysterious. No, God ain't mysterious. He's not mysterious. He's very steadfast. He's very dependable. I just know he's not turning nobody away. So I go to them and they're like, well, you know, God, we don't understand everything down here. And I always come back, no, but I understand that Jesus took stripes on His back for them. He didn't say if they're so old they can't be healed, don't pray for them. You tell them to get on the Word. Get you an anointed handkerchief. Put it in your socks, man. Put it in your shoe. Put it under your pillow. Anoint your, get up. Fight the good fight of faith. Told my mama one time, the nurses, and I'm going to close with this. This Word will do this stuff to you. and it's good to me. It's a good life. They hospice over there, and they go into moms, you know, hospice. And they said, well, you know, hospice is the last ones now before they die. And I said, well, who's going to determine that, hospice? My sister. I said, no. I said, they're getting paid for this. This is not her last dying wish here. I said, they do their job, and we'll do ours. And so my sister's talking to the nurses and all of them, and they come up with this real bright idea, Mac, to get me over there, you know. And so reluctantly I went over there. See, I done sat down with my mama, Mac, and I done asked my mama, because she's bedridden. And I asked my mama, I said, Mama, I said, what do you want? I said, I found this scripture and I had my Bible and I read it to her. I said, the Apostle Paul says right here that he was torn between the two. It would be better for him to go on to heaven, but he's torn. I said, and he decided to stay because it was needful. I said, this tells me and you, Mama, that you can give up and go on, or you can decide to stay here. I said, that's what Paul did. I said, now what do you want? I said, because me and you and our faith in God, in God's Word, will keep you alive. I said, now what do you want? Are you ready to go home? Are you tired? Are you ready to go home? Or do you want to stay here? And she looked up, studying in the ceiling a few minutes, you know. And then she looked me in the eye, Mac, and she said, I want to stay here. I said, well, bless God, so be it then. And so I gathered her hands right now, and I said, Lord, you honor your Word. Long satisfied life do you give us and show us your salvation. Mom's not ready to come home, Lord. Bless God, hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that you give her a long, satisfied life. So I left there. A little bit later, a year ago, she goes into a coma and all that. Y'all know the story. And Lord sends me over there, you know. And I prayed for her and brought her out of that coma by the instruction of the Lord, you know. And she lives, you know. And so then a little later on, they come over there. And that nurse, she says, Mr. Weston. I said, yes. There comes a time when you just got to let them go. And I said, well, I said, you know what? I said, the best thing for y'all nurses to do is do your job and go give her a bath and give her her medicines and feed her, and I'll do my part. I said, you ain't going to determine when my mama goes. My mama's not going to be took out of here with sickness and disease yet. Congestive heart failure and all that. You know what? I stepped up here fixing to preach, I think it was Sunday school, ending Sunday school, and she looked at my sister, my mama did, and told her, said, tell Scotty I love him. And then she went on to be with the Lord. And then I went on to preach service. There ain't no reason for me not to. She's not there. She's in heaven. Right? So what I'm telling you that is God will let you experience the supernatural. Everybody else don't have to believe it, but you will know on the inside that your God honored your faith and your stance against things, and especially for people. Don't ever give up on people. God don't. He don't give up. Now, He lets them do their own thing, but don't give up on them. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we thank